Well, I want to just invite you to take out your Bibles once again. We're going to go to 2 Corinthians here this morning. And I'm going to be reading in chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. Just for those of you that have missed the last few Sundays, I want to get you up to speed with where we've been going in the Sent series. The first week, we talked about the mission of God, how God has a mission in this world, and that His purpose is to redeem and to reconcile people to Himself. And God designed us for relationship. And so God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross and to rise from the grave so that He could make that way possible for us to be reconciled to God the Father. We talked about in week 2 about the mission of the church. Because God has sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to us, that Jesus has sent us to the world. And that our mission really flows out of God's mission, that we join in His story and we get to participate in what God is doing in this world. Last week, we talked about this idea of being sent into harvest and that all of us as Christians are sent. Whether or not you're in full-time professional ministry, in other words, this is what you do as a profession, or whatever you do each day of the week, all of us are in ministry all the time. Whether or not you're paid for it or not, you are called to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, to incarnate. It's a big word that means to dwell among people. So in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your family, to dwell among people and to be a light for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ is sent into mission. This morning, what I would like to do is talk about our purpose here at Clay House. How do we fit into God's mission in this community and in this world? So we're going to talk specifically about that this morning, but I'm going to be reading in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. If you're there, you can follow along. If you don't have a Bible, you can just listen in. Paul says this, "Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart, but we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, 'Let the light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us." Let's pray and ask the Lord's blessing on this time. Lord, we exalt you this morning. We lift you high. Lord, we cannot lift you higher than what you already are, but we exalt you today. And Lord, I pray that just as you've been seated on our praises this morning, would you be honored during this time as we study your word. Holy Spirit, would you teach us? Would you show us the truth? We don't want to just be informed by your word. We want to be transformed. And so, Holy Spirit, that's your job, not mine. And so we commit this time to you. We ask, Lord, that you would reign supreme in our hearts and minds. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, one of my favorite TV shows of all time is The Andy Griffith Show. I absolutely love that show. I grew up as a kid watching all those episodes, and of course, it's so much fun to watch those. Every one of them I've seen. And every now and then I'll pull out the DVD series, which we already have on DVD, and we'll watch those, and I'm introducing the kids to it right now. But it's one of those feel-good shows that's warm, and it's funny, and it has a lot of good themes in it. And I particularly love Barney Fife. He is my favorite character in all TV of all time. He just cracks me up. But, you know, after he left the show after about 5 years, it's actually when he left, there were some contract disputes, he wanted to do some movie things, and so he left after 5 years, and then it moved from black and white to color. And in my opinion, it went downhill from that point. You got to stick with the black and white if you really want the true Andy Griffith Show stuff. But Don Knotts, who played Barney Fife, wanted, obviously, to move on to other things. But it's interesting, as you look at Don Knotts' life, he was really typecast into that role of Barney Fife. He was this nervous, kind of bumbling character, the reluctant hero type, but he never got away from it. It's interesting, as you look at some of his other movies, which I actually enjoy watching those as well, it's basically a reproduction, or he's reproducing what he already was as Barney Fife in the Andy Griffith Show. Like it or not, Don Knotts was stuck in Barney Fife's role for the rest of his life. You know, it's interesting when we think about our lives as Christians, if we have committed our life to Jesus, if we're following Him faithfully, and God has changed us on the inside, unfortunately, we still live in our bodies, our flesh, and we are typecast as well. We still have a sense where we can't get away from the fact that we live in a fallen world, and we live in the flesh, and there are challenges that come with that. We can't get away from the fact that we are, according to what Paul says here, weak vessels. You know, we can't get away from that reality, that we are jars of clay. Other ways of saying it there, according to this weak vessel, other translations say jars of clay. But it's interesting, even though we are weak vessels, and we've been typecast into that, it's the content and not the container which counts. Are you trekking with me? It's what's inside these jars of clay and not just the clay pots themselves. You know, although we've been typecast in this fallen world as weak vessels, we have this amazing treasure in Jesus Christ. And it's interesting, in verse 7 here of this few verses I read here is actually our theme verse here at Clay House. Let me read it again. For we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that the surpassing power belongs to God and not to us. Now, just to give you a little bit of a synopsis of what is going on here in this particular chapter, in this particular letter that Paul is writing the Corinthians, Paul is explaining to the church in Corinth that he has received the ministry of the gospel. And Paul's confident actually of several things as he's writing this letter to those folks. Number one, he's confident of the sufficiency of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He's confident of that reality. He's also confident that this gospel needs no external reinforcement. In other words, it shines by its own light. You don't need to add anything else to it. He's just been talking about that here in the last chapter. But despite the response, or maybe even the lack of response, that some of these Corinthians were seeing, that there still was a visible proof that the gospel was taking root. But Paul's, he's explaining all these things to the church there at Corinth. He recognized that he was just simply a weak vessel or a weak messenger of a glorious truth. He was just a weak vessel of this glorious truth. And you know, the truth is the same is true of us, that we are weak vessels as well. We are just clay pots, yet it is the Holy Spirit who indwells us if we're believers in Jesus Christ. And we have this amazing treasure in Christ. So it's the content and not the container that really matters. And really, if anybody's going to get anything from our lives, it's going to be from the content and not the container that holds it. We just simply are vessels that carry it. You know, every fall and winter, my wife Amy likes to make various kinds of soup. We're very much a soup and salad and bread kind of family during the fall and winter, and I absolutely love it. She'll make chicken noodle soup when it's cold outside, or squash soup. That was actually kind of new to me, actually, a few years ago. Squash soup, I never heard of it, but it's great. And wild rice soup. Anybody, any Minnesotans around here heard of wild rice soup? Yes. It's hard to find wild rice here. You have to almost go back to Minnesota to find it, but she'll make this wild rice soup. And you know what she does with the leftovers is she puts all the soup in these containers. And you know, soup is great reheated. That's the amazing thing about it. You know, you can eat it one night, you can reheat it for lunch the next day, and it's in these plastic containers. I want to say, when I go to get soup the next day for lunch, I could care less about the container, but I love the soup within it, don't I? It's one of those things that it's just, I love the soup that she makes. And you know, the same when you think about, it's the content and not just the container We have to realize that God has deposited in each of us an amazing treasure. It's good soup. Not to diminish the Holy Spirit there. But we need to recognize that we have this amazing treasure. But we're only containers. And so Paul says here in verse 7, he sees himself not as somebody special. He sees himself as a weak container, a vessel, but he's a transmitter of the gospel. It's the content, not the container. And so the idea that Paul's trying to convey here is something extraordinary is placed inside something common. Something extraordinary is placed inside something just regular or common. And Paul's saying, look, I'm just an ordinary man, just a common container, but I have this treasure in me that is of infinite value, the gospel of Jesus Christ, this glorious gospel. And this power is working in and through my life. This power is Jesus Christ himself. And you know, friends, the same is true of us. If we are believers in Jesus Christ, you and I have a deposit. We have a treasure in our hearts and minds, in our spirit. We are filled with Christ. And this is an amazing treasure. And you know, friends, here at Clay House, our aim is to invite people to beautifully encounter the power of the living God so that they too may discover this great treasure in Jesus Christ. That they too may understand and know the treasure that is found only in Him. In my heart, in my prayer, and I know this is the heart of many of you as well, is to see people encounter the living God here. My prayer is that when people come to Clay House, as they come through these doors, it's not that God so much indwells a building, He indwells people. But as we gather, that they would have a sense of God's tangible presence here among us. Amen? That there will be something unique and special as we gather together. Because Jesus says, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. And so as we gather together, that people would have a tangible sense of God's presence and that they would encounter the living God. You know, one of the greatest compliments I could ever hear as a pastor is not, Pastor Tim, that was a great message. What's music to my ears is when I hear people say, you know, I sense God was here today. And I know that as we encounter the living God and as we have a sense that we're in His presence and God begins to change our hearts and minds, that's where real life begins to happen. And so our hearts is to encounter God here. Amen? Amen. And God is still working among us. We're just weak vessels, but God is continually changing us. There's a word called sanctifying, to make us more and more like Jesus. We're common vessels, but by grace, He is transforming us, helping us to be the kind of men and women that honor Him in everything. And it's the Holy Spirit. He indwells us. And what an amazing reality to think that the Spirit of God dwells within us. What an amazing thing. And so our mission here at Clay House is therefore really to love Jesus and to make His love known. We want people to encounter the living God in their life, not just here on Sunday mornings, but as we connect with people throughout the week, that they would have a sense of an encounter with the living God. And that people would recognize Jesus for who He is and honor Him, and that treasure, the treasure of the gospel, would find its way into the hearts and minds of people. And so our aim must be not only to love God ourselves with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, but to love people, to care for them, to listen to them, to be able to share the truth with them, and to let others know about this amazing treasure that we've discovered. I want to read verses 3 and 4, if you'll turn with me once again here in chapter 4. Let me read this. Verse 3. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So this treasure is veiled for most of the people around us. That in a sense, that most people, as they see and they hear maybe what we're talking about and as we're worshiping the Lord on Sunday, it doesn't look like a treasure to them at all. It appears really as foolishness to them. It doesn't make complete sense to the unbelievers. In fact, what the Scripture says here is that it has no real value to them. That they can't see the treasure for what it is. So, you know, if it were a physical treasure, money or gold or houses, that would be appealing to everybody. But because it's a spiritual treasure, something that you can't tangibly see with your own eye, but only can see from the eyes of your heart, it's blinded. The devil has blinded people to the reality of the gospel. Paul says here, he uses the language, the god of this world, Satan, has blinded people to this true treasure. And so Clayhouse, we are here in Colorado Springs for a very specific reason, to shine the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ to people that are around us that are blinded to the truth of the gospel. And sadly, there are so many people, hundreds of thousands of people here in this community itself that are blinded by Satan. You can just see by the way they live their lives, by the way in which they're looking for and searching for answers to their questions or their circumstances. They're trying to grab at different things to be able to help pull them out of the pit. But the truth is they keep sinking deeper and deeper because they have not realized the treasure that can be found in Jesus Christ. And so, Clayhouse, we are here in Colorado Springs for a reason. It's not just to gather on Sunday mornings as much as it's important for us to do and not neglect doing, but we're here to be a light to the people around us, to share this treasure, to be able to let other people know who Jesus is. And we can't blame people because they're blinded, because, you know, you think about our lives, we too were once blinded as well. We too were once blinded by Satan himself, and we could not see the treasure of Jesus Christ until the Holy Spirit began to show the truth of the gospel to us, and our hearts were opened up, and our eyes were opened to the reality of who Jesus is. And so by the grace of God, if our faith is in Jesus Christ, we can see clearly now, and we can look out and see the lostness of the people around us, the fact that people need to be rescued. And now that we have true vision, we need to rediscover our mission as God's people. And I think this is one of the ways in which the enemy tries to work overtime in churches, is he tries to get us distracted by a lot of things that could be considered secondary, things that are not as important as sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. Too much of our prayers become, Lord, help me through this week. And there's nothing wrong for asking God's protection and guidance through the week, but we need to allow our vision to be going beyond, to the world around us, to the city around us. You know, if Jesus answered every one of your prayers, how many people would be saved? We need to think long and hard about where we're praying. Somebody said, why ask for a cupful when God can give the whole ocean? We need to be praying big things of God, praying for this city, praying for this nation, praying for this world. Amen? We need to be doing this. And this is our call as Christians, to be in prayer and to be seeking the Lord. And then as we talked about last week, asking God, what would you have me do that I might be a partner and participate in what you've called me to do? And so our aim here at Clayhouse is to love Jesus ourselves and love Him completely, and also to make His love known to people who are around us, that their eyes would be opened by the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're in your Bibles, if you turn to Matthew's gospel, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 22. I'm going to read a passage here that's important for us to understand. We're thinking about our mission and purpose as a church. Matthew chapter 22, and I'm going to be reading verses 34 through 40. I'll give you a second to get there. Matthew 22, verses 34 through 40. It says, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they came together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. And this is the great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. You know, it's interesting, as we think about our mission and purpose as a church, it's really founded upon what Jesus has to say in these few verses. In verse 37, we're commanded as Christians and as believers and as God's people to love God, to focus our love on Him, There's a vertical component that our direction is to worship Him. And that's why we come together. That's why we sing songs. That's why we pray. That's why we study His Word, that we can worship and honor the great name of an amazing God. This is a vertical component of our orientation. We worship a living God. But we also see the other side of things in verse 39, that we're called to love people. There's a horizontal component to this. There's a sense where when we love God and we first understand His great love for us, that love compels us to love other people. Yes, even people that naturally we don't like. In fact, Jesus said, you know, what good is it if you treat those that are who treat you well? Basically, you're a friend to those who are a friend to you. I mean, even, you know, tax collectors or sinners do that. But what about your enemies? So as followers of Jesus Christ, you can usually tell the depth of somebody's commitment to Jesus Christ because God begins to pour in us a supernatural love for people that we wouldn't ordinarily love in the flesh, in our natural way of going about things. But God, because of His great love for us, gives us a love for people. And friends, when we're talking about going out into mission, we're talking about reaching our community, we must love people. And really the question is we have to ask ourselves, is God, where do I really love people? And this has to be something that God births in our heart, because, you know, you're driving down the road, somebody cuts you off in traffic, somebody, you know, gets in front of you in line at the grocery store, or somebody, you know, does some things, calls you up on the phone, or a boss, or somebody you work with just did something to irritate you. Naturally, you tend to go through the roof as far as your emotions. But, you know, friends, when we remember God's great love for us, He gives us the grace, the patience, and the guidance to be able to work through those kind of circumstances and to love people and to care for them. And so there's a link between the two. We're never going to love people effectively on a horizontal level if we don't first have the vertical thing in place where we love God the right way. And it's when we discover His great love for us, then we can truly love people. You know, if we want to make a difference here at Clay House in Colorado Springs, and that's my prayer, and that's the prayer of the leadership here, that we've been seeking the Lord and saying, God, what would You have us do? How can we get into this community? How can we be around people and share the gospel of Jesus Christ so that they can know this amazing treasure? We've discovered that we must love people, but we have to love Jesus ourselves and know His love for us. And when we've grasped this, when God changes our hearts, then we have a love for people. I love what Charles Spurgeon said. This is a very powerful quote. He says, "Have you no wish for others to be saved? Then you are not saved yourself. Be sure of that." Well, if that doesn't hit you between the eyes, we have to first recognize what God has done for us and recognize that because He saved us, He gives us supernatural love and a desire for them to come to Christ. But if we don't have that, we have to ask ourselves some very serious questions. And so our profession of our love for God will always be suspect if we don't love, and if that love isn't directed at our neighbors, if we're not caring for them, if we're not sharing the truth of the gospel with them. You know, speaking of neighbors, last week I asked you a question of whether or not you'd be praying. You know, at the end of the service, we took some time to be thinking and praying about maybe somebody God put on your heart to think and pray for. Have you been praying this week? I hope you have. We raised our hands there, but I want to follow through on this type of thing. We've been talking about praying for our friends and family members and coworkers. Keep praying. Keep seeking the Lord for the lost people. And as you begin to pray for people, God begins to burden your heart to be able to speak up and do what you can do and to care for them. I hope you've been praying. And I'm concerned for many of us that we aren't really engaged in our local community here. And we need to do this. And I've been asking these hard questions myself. How can I do this more effectively? How can I get more among people? You know, we talked about this phrase, withness cultivates witness. How can I dwell among people in a greater capacity? I hope you're asking those questions. And some of us might be engaged in other places around the nation and world, and that is great. Keep it up. But if it's to the neglect of the people right here, locally, I want to just challenge you to not make it an either or, but a both and. To not make it just to the ends of the earth, and we want to keep our eyes there too, but also keep it here as well. That God has planted us here. It's not an either or, it's a both and. So Clay House, here's the bottom line. We've got some work to do. We've got some work to do here at this church. Every one of us as individuals and collectively, we have got an assignment that God has given us to be a light here to this community. And we must be obedient to this truth and this gospel of Jesus Christ and the commands of Jesus. We have been given a God-given mission to accomplish right here in Colorado Springs and ultimately to the ends of the earth. And so our unique DNA as a church is to be a Christ-centered community, bringing hope and healing to our city, Colorado Springs, and to the world itself. And as I've said earlier this morning, we are ascending church. This is not just being sent to places like Rwanda or France or some other place. This is also being sent out into your own community, sent out to be heralders of the gospel, sent into your workplace. This sending is also local. And it's my job as a pastor, and this is one of my primary responsibilities, is to help stir and equip us all to do this effectively. I pray that God would do a work in our hearts, but we have to come before the Lord and say, God, we need you. We cannot do this without you. We can be faithful in our witness. We can share the truth of others, but we can't save anybody. It's got to be the Spirit of God that does the work in our hearts. And so this is why we pray and we ask the Lord, say, God, would you stir the hearts of the people before us? Would you stir the hearts of the people that we work with, that we would be obedient to your will and your way? As I mentioned, this fall we're going to do some specific training for this mission of hospitality and this call to open our homes and make them centers for the gospel to be able to go forth and to be a light in our own neighborhoods. And there's a lot more to say about this. But this summer, what I would like to do is present to you two opportunities for us to get engaged. Two opportunities. So this is a straight-up challenge for you to get connected and you to get involved. The first one you saw in the video earlier is Vacation Bible School. I'm excited for this. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be July 22nd through 26th, 6:30 to 8:30. This, friends, is a real opportunity for us to reach children in our community. This is a real opportunity. This not only reached the children, but reached their families as well. You know, last year was our first VBS that we'd had, at least since I've been here. There have been some before that. And God did some great things. And we had a great time. There were 45 kids here. And that's a wonderful thing. But we have capacity for a lot more. And so my prayer is that we would be praying, and you be praying about some kids that you know, maybe children or grandchildren or neighbors or people on their kids' baseball teams or whatever, that you reach out. And you invite them to church. You invite them to come to this VBS. I would love to see kids come, not just so that we can puff ourselves up and say, oh, we had this amount of kids. No, that they would hear the truth of the gospel. That they would hear the truth of Jesus. And they would discover this treasure in their lives. And I want to say this, friends, we need your help. You know, we were just meeting yesterday as some of the VBS leaders, and we were just saying, you know, this is really what our greatest need right now is. Currently, we have about 20 kids signed up. There's still a lot more of you that haven't signed up your kids, but I want to just say, let's make this ambition. We have 1 month. Let's do what we can to pray and invite kids in our community. There's these postcards there in the back table. If you want to grab them after church, take them with you, hand them out. Just make a personal invite. We have things on Facebook. If you want to tag somebody and with the logo here for VBS and just invite them that way, do that. But I want to just encourage you. You know, we're talking about sending and being on mission. This is a mission that God has put right in front of us, and this is a gospel-centered curriculum. So I would just encourage you and challenge you to be in prayer about what God would have you to do and enroll your own kids if you haven't already. So I'm excited about that. The second thing that I want to challenge you with this summer is I'm excited to announce that we're going to be having a new partnership as a church with St. Francis Hospital, which is basically we're in the shadow of St. Francis right here. As I was praying and thinking over some time, what are some ways in which we can
dwell among people, incarnate the gospel. And Sam Jennings, as you know, works at the NICU there, and so I was in some conversations with him. I was able to find some point people there at the hospital and began praying about some things, and God is opening up a wide door for us to be able to get into that hospital in the NICU, to be able to help with newborn families, and NICU is newborn and neonatal intensive care unit. So there's some families that are going through some tough times and some challenges there, that this is an opportunity for us to be a blessing to them. And so over this past year, we've been praying about how to partner and get into our community and dwell among, and this is a great opportunity. And God is opening some doors. Ruth Smith, who is not here this morning, she is going to be the point person for this ministry. She'll be here in a few more weeks to talk more with you up front about the details. But Ruth is the point person. She's looking for men and women that want to come together to be a part of this team. But what we're going to be looking to do is a lot of things there. Let me read this so I don't forget anything. We're going to supply materials for those folks there, gift bags or baskets for moms and babies. We're going to try to develop personal relationships with the staff that are there, because this is also a critical ministry that God has opened up to us. Possibly praying for babies, if for those that do go the extra mile, which Ruth is doing to become a volunteer at the hospital, to potentially hold and pray for those babies and families, and just be a blessing. And like I said, God has been opening up some amazing doors and giving us favor, as there are some Christians there in the NICU that would be able to enable this partnership to happen. Again, there's a lot more to say on this, and I'm excited about this, but I want to just say hang tight, and if you're interested in getting connected with this, this is a wonderful opportunity for you to seize the moment and to getting engaged in your community. And I will say this, while we're starting the partnership with St. Francis, we're still open-minded to other things in the future, but we want to sink our teeth into this first, and then as God opens some extra doors as we move along, we'll prayerfully discern that as we go. But I'm excited about this. So VBS and St. Francis Partnership are two specific ways this summer that you can get engaged, and you be praying about what God would have you to do as we are witnesses for the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is not to say that those are the only two ways. There are plenty of other ways as well. But you be discerning in your own life about what God would have you to do. Amen? Amen. So at this time, we're going to have communion here this morning. I want to invite the worship team to come forward. And you know, when we think about how God is a missionary, how He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us, to rescue and to redeem us. I love what Romans 5:8 says, "But God shows His love for us, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." And today, you know, as we've been talking about people's eyes being opened, how Satan has blinded the eyes of so many people around us. By the Holy Spirit, He has opened our eyes. And as we come to the table this morning, this is a time for us to think about this amazing treasure we have in Christ. To think about who He is and what He's done to rescue and redeem us. And maybe as we receive these elements this morning, you have to be honest, and I have to be honest with myself too, but to say, you know, Lord, I don't think I have this kind of love for people that Your love. I've been too focused on my own agenda, my own world. God, would You open my heart to see people and to love them the way You love me? And so as we come to the table this morning, maybe you need to do some soul searching. Maybe you need to ask God, say, God, would You change my heart? Would You reorient my thinking so that I'm focused on the needs that are around me and not just my own needs? You know, Scripture declares that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, He took the bread and He broke it. And He said that this is My body which is given for you, take and eat. And He also took the cup and He said, this is the blood of a new covenant. As often as you drink of this, do this in remembrance of Me. You know, if you're new here to Clay House, we don't require that you be a member here at this church. We just ask that you've done some soul searching and recognized that your heart has been opened and your eyes have been opened to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. This time we're going to have the team come forward and distribute the elements. And what we would ask you to do as the worship team plays quietly, you can just hold those tight. Do notice there's two cups. The top cup has the juice. The bottom cup has a little wafer underneath it. We're going to take those at the end of the time of worship here together. So once you have it, you can just hold it in your hands until we receive it together. But I want us just during these few moments to focus on the precious blood of Jesus Christ and also remember His great sacrifice for us and ask Jesus, Lord, what would You have me here to do? So let us receive these together as we worship the Lord in silence. Now as we think about Jesus' great sacrifice for us, spilling His own blood that our eyes might see, let us receive the cup together. Let us also take the bread together, remembering that it was Jesus' death on the cross that gives us life. Let us partake together. Lord Jesus, we worship You today. Thank You that You've opened our eyes. And Lord, we pray that You'd open the eyes of millions and billions of people around this world. And Lord, help us to be obedient to You and Your mission in this world. Lord, help us here at Clay House that we would be obedient to You. Lord, may Your grace be upon us as we seek first Your kingdom and Your righteousness. And Lord, forgive us if we have put our focus on things that are secondary. Forgive us if we have taken our eyes off loving people and loving You the way we should. Lord, we confess our sin to You now. And we ask that You cleanse us and that You'd make us whole. And Lord, may Your praise ever be on our lips. And may we speak forth Your truth to our neighbors, our friends, our family, our co-workers. Lord, we need You. Holy Spirit, would You go before us and guide us, even this week, as we've been praying for those lost people that we love. Lord, just guide us and show us what we must do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? We're going to close with the song, Ever Be. The desire of this song is, and the cry of this song is that God's praise would ever be on our lips. But you know, His praise not just in lifting God high, but also sharing the truth of His love to others. Let's sing this together.